Kia ora. What does an innovative and productive sector look like? Crap, I don't know. Look, it's one of those questions where I looked at it and thought, how on earth do you approach this? Jim, I'm happy to say I'm not going to be contradicting you, especially as you used a number of my quotes, and I don't know how I can quite follow that kind of vision of, around what the system should look like or how it should be working, but I'm sort of going to sort of try from a few kind of, I suppose, personal observations. I've passed an interesting milestone this year. I've spent 12 years in the university sector, which just eclipses the 12 years I spent in the public sector. And my job sits kind of in the interface of government and the university sector. It's a fascinating one. I love it. It's one of the few jobs where I spend a lot of my life in universities translating government, and in government translating universities. And universities don't understand how decisions are taken or the kind of risk profiles that get applied or how officials actually approach policy portfolios. And in universities, no understanding of, you know, surely they, you know, you follow the truth and you go where the evidence takes you, and, you know, the ability to be able to affect good policy isn't always understood in a political context. And so for me, this whole conversation around productivity and innovation is a fascinating one. And at one level, I suppose, intellectually, I've been enjoying it. At another level, I've been thinking, I wonder how this is all going to land. So, you know, I'm watching over here the Productivity Commission team with great interest to see kind of where it does go. I wish you the absolute best, because I think it's, as I was saying to Murray before, it's an absolutely fantastic, you know, once in 25-year opportunity to really help shape thinking. The interesting thing is, sitting in an interface between, you know, having come out of government and the university sector, it is interesting watching how government has to deal with, you know, broad range of problems that have been brought into sharp relief following particularly the global financial crisis, where, you know, the amount of money that's available in the public purse for investment is now severely constrained, the choices are many, and it's ultimately a political decision around where you invest it. And you've got sort of pragmatic, sort of centre-right governments which are looking for returns and are using language like productivity, innovation, economic growth, social development. Nice, broad, sweeping terms that generally people will go, well, it sounds okay. But the interesting bit is when you start breaking it down and saying, well, what exactly do we think innovation or productivity looks like? And I've had some absolutely wonderful conversations the last sort of 9 months with, you know, officials in MB saying, well, productivity is, if you could turn those arts graduates, actually, and this is paraphrasing, turn those arts graduates into entrepreneurs starting the next Microsoft. Now, the reality is, we're never going to do that. So what do I think a productive and innovative sector should look like? And, you know, I hope this is constructive. You know, I spend a lot of my time, as I say, translating between kind of two worlds, and so I'm always trying to find what does the win-win look like. So to me, it really sits across, at a national level, four things, and then at an institutional level, the implications that fall out of that. At a national level, I think the Europeans have broadly got it right. Their kind of agenda is that the single best thing that the tertiary system can do around productivity is not try to produce, you know, a ton more entrepreneurs or anything like that. It's fundamentally making sure that every single graduate, whatever they want to do, whatever it is that excites them, whatever workplace they go into, they are going to be productive and innovative. They are actually going to have a graduate profile that basically says they have the kind of skills that vast majority of employers want. They can organize their own time, they are good at self-learning, they have enough IT skills to be able to cope with whatever the job's going to throw at them. They are good problem solvers, they're good at playing with other people, they can communicate well in writing and in person, all the fundamentals. Doesn't matter whether they're a historian, like myself, or an engineer. Ultimately, we know that graduates with those attributes get jobs, and, you know, I'm now assuming a degree of causality here that may not be appropriate, but in general, the more educated these graduates are, the more employers seem to be willing to pay for them, and that's presumably some sort of reflection of the fact they're more likely to have those kind of skills that make them employable. Sorry, that was a probably slightly dubious bit of logic, so I'm going to move rapidly on. But to me, that's the number one thing we can do. Just graduates that are going to actually help. Oh, 2 minutes already. My goodness. Okay, I have talked too long. Moving right along then. Graduates that are going to be productive actually in their communities and their families. You know, we look at the economic literature, you know, there's a lot of kind of pseudoscience behind it, but ultimately, smart, educated people with a lot of those soft capabilities lift the prosperity and the effectiveness of their families and communities. You know, the sort of numbers I see thrown around, you know, that pretty much for every dollar you earn, you generate about $1.22 benefit additional to your family in terms of smart purchasing decisions, being able to live in a nicer place, having healthier lifestyles, your kids having better lifestyles and prospects. Third area, actually it's generating knowledge that is looking at the kind of problems that society is dealing with. It's the things that Jim was talking about. Are we asking the questions, and have we got the connections actually in society? Are our researchers connected? Are our teachers actually instilling the right questions and the knowledge around some of these problems actually into graduates? And obviously in the margins, absolutely. Also, helping those that are entrepreneurial develop those skills in a safe environment so when they do take new ideas to market or to society, they've actually got some traction. What does it mean for the institution? He says, very conscious, he's probably got 30 seconds. Look, it means ultimately it's all about the profile of right people. So it's all about teachers who are going to be able to develop those skills in young people, help them be productive, effective members both in jobs and in life. It's about researchers who are actually able to ask those questions, but actually also have the ability to be able to actually connect with whether it's media or whether it's industry or society to make sure that knowledge is transferred, and that's often a big gap for us. For me, it's very much around that whole kind of staff that are actually making efficient institutions as well. We are going to have to do a lot more with what we've actually got. So look, bit of a rapid run through in 7 minutes, and I see the finish card's finished. Pigeon run, thank you.